We have had an exhausting week in the little English town of Diet Coke. No, what's it called? What was it called?
Didcot.
Excuse me, Didcot. Americans never know how to pronounce English towns. We're just outside of Oxford at the Cornerstone Theater, and we teched the show for 3 days. We just had two fantastic performances. Even a standing O from an almost sold-out crowd.
Wait, wasn't that somebody just getting up to leave early?
Yes, it was a standing and walking out ovation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And now we face the most difficult part of the week, a three-hour drive across England to Norwich. So what better way to spend the time by recording a podcast? Am I right, guys?
Well, we haven't put choice, Austin.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 425, UK Comedy Openings. After a long week of tech and a weekend of opening performances, our 81-city UK tour of the complete history of comedy abridged is finally underway. Actors Gary Fannin, Matt Pearson, Andrew Hodges, and Stephen Rostance talk about the process that got us here and the things we learned and the fears we overcame during our opening weekend of performances.
Congratulations, gentlemen. You got standing O was admittedly a partial standing O. But from a British audience, people standing and not just to walk out is fantastic. That is a rave review. We got lovely tweets online. I think you guys are really on your way to a hugely successful, and if you can somehow manage to make it fun, tour. So congratulations on that. Gary, you've been with the company the longest. What's it been like? Has it been different?
We had two shows in Diet Coke, and to be honest, I thought both of them were really representative. The first night it was kind of a small audience, so there was a problem with the booking thing. So there's only about
Couldn't book tickets online. There were only we sold the comically appropriate number of 69 tickets in a 200 seat venue.
Yeah, and I think that was probably the average age of the audience as well, because they were lovely, they enjoyed it, but they were of an older generation and just very quiet. As you would often say, they were smiling uproariously.
Yes. As I told you, they had three strikes against them. Yeah. They were small, old, and British. So in terms of getting a loud response, you didn't have a lot of chance.
No. But, and after the show, as we were saying goodbye to everybody, they obviously loved it. They just weren't as vocal. But sometimes that happens. We get that sometimes. But then the second night, last night, it was a packed house, almost completely sold out, as you said. And they were more like a typical audience that we have on tour. They were really vocal, really encouraging, really responsive. They were groaning in all the right places, laughing in all the right places. So we had a great time last night. And because it was only our second show, it was kind of a reaffirming moment to go, thank God the show actually does work.
Yes, it does work. And what I was realizing is that unlike in Edinburgh, now the show, the way we've adapted it for the UK, is getting the kinds of response I am used to hearing in America, which is, yes, groans at the puns and the bad jokes, but also, sighs of fondness when you talk about a beloved British comedian in the way we talk about beloved American comedians. Yeah. That's been really lovely. So I think we are hitting that nerve really nicely.
Yeah, we had that great moment last night. We talked about comedy double acts.
Right.
And we changed some of them for a UK audience. And Morecambe and Wise is our number six. Is it?
Number seven.
But here in the UK, we had some people last night going, oh, no, that should be number one.
Yeah, literally. Some guy went, number seven?
Yeah. But again, as we were going through the list of double acts, people were generally going, look, it's Patsy and Eddie. Oh, it's, Peter Cook and Dudley Moore.
I had no idea Fry and Laurie were so beloved. Yeah. I mean, I like them, but I didn't know they were. Anyway.
Yeah.
Andy Hodges, this was your debut. With the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
And it was a very big debut.
And it was a very big and beautiful debut.
Aw, thank you very much. It was. And it was... every bit as terrifying as I thought it would be as well. But no, it was great. And just, you know, reiterating what Gary just said, that the first night was gentle in a nice way, you know. And it worked. Excuse me a second. It worked really well, but it was just kind of quiet and nice. And then, you know, very surprised last night when 200 plus people were just, you know, laughing hysterically. And I thought, what are we doing?
Right.
I had no idea we were this funny.
Well, and you have in some ways the heaviest bit of lifting in the sense that you play Rambozo in the second act, and kind of like Hamlet in the Shakespeare show or like Spade Diamond in the America show, you have the burden of narration and the burden of driving the bus of this second act show. And that's my one note. You could drive a little faster.
Yep. No, yeah, I've noted that joke along the lines of stop indulging yourself, Hodges.
No, but you were. That was funny because you were so delighted by, hey, they're laughing. I'm going to sit here and enjoy this for a while.
Yeah, no, I got my inner director voice just going, it's not all about you. So, you know, let the others do something.
Wait,
so.
Hang on, it's not about what?
Well, yeah, what? I had no idea.
The needs of the many outweigh the needs of Andy Hodges?
No, I don't know. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, the idea of kind of Rambozo, he's a storyteller. And actually in the first half as well, I kind of feel like I'm the narrator and the presenter as well. But honestly, I think I got the easiest gig because the others just look exhausted at the end of the show, and I have not even broken a sweat. I stand there all zen, you know, my bananas around my chest. Just
that's the role that I play in the Bible show, and Gary, maybe you do too. Is this if you point at the other two and narrate, and they run around and do all the heavy lifting of the
No, I'm, you know, in my head, dance monkeys dance. You know?
And speaking of monkeys, Matt Pearson. Now you Matt and Steve Rostens, you guys share the green roll, so you each got a chance to go on in Ditcot. And Matt, you had the unenviable position of doing it first with that audio. You did it for 69 people.
I did it for 69. And you know what? It was still fun. It was a bit, you know, it was a little scary the first time, especially since this role is so physical, and you just want to hit the right marks and get the costume changes right. So that's what I was most nervous about. And then also when you're not getting that huge response,
right,
when you're doing the most physical role, it's like, I'm doing all this for just like a little chuckle. Come on, guys.
I know. That's what I like the least about doing the Shakespeare show.
Yeah.
Because not only you're running around, you're working so hard, you're getting so little response, and you're in tights.
Yeah, that's the worst thing about the Shakespeare.
Now, how many shows have you done with the RSC, Matt?
This is my second one.
Oh, so this is only this. I couldn't remember whether you did the Bible or not. That was like a year ago. How can I be expected to remember that?
No, I didn't do the Bible. It's against my principles.
Yeah, that's.
I was born in Newton Abbey, so.
Is there a sense? Can you sense a difference, but from this show to the Shakespeare show, or similarities?
You know what? It's more similar than I thought it was at first. When I saw you guys do it in Edinburgh, I thought, oh, it's a completely different animal. It's much more of a sketch show. And that's true, but I don't know. It feels much more like a roller coaster in the way that the Shakespeare show is to perform. I mean, the green roll doesn't get a second to breathe until about half an hour into the first act. And that's the same as the Shakespeare show. And I, when I saw it in Edinburgh, I thought this is going to be much easier. It's really not.
Steve Rostens, was that your experience as well? You got to go on for almost a sold-out house last night.
That's right, yeah. Seeing Maddie go first, I was in a very strange position of actually having something to live up to on my first night, but
with that audience, Matt very graciously set the bar pretty low.
Absolutely,
that's what I do best.
Very, very fortunate in that way. But as you say, my very first RSC show, and I couldn't have asked for a better audience. It was absolutely great. The people of I believe it's Dico.
Oh, sorry,
the silent.
Island.
Got it.
Yeah. So good to know.
But no, it was fantastic. And like Matt said, the first half especially is a roller coaster for for Green especially, because you don't stop moving until you're a monk on stage. That's the first time you get to stand still, really.
And even then, you have to remember some pretty complicated dialogue.
Such a drag. You have to like say things to people and remember things you're supposed to do. And
it's such a pain being an actor.
Not what I became an actor to do at all.
Hello, folks. This is Mike McShane, and you're listening deeply and completely to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Yes. Where can you RSC the RSC? Our 81-city UK and Ireland tour of the complete history of Comedy Abridged continues this week with performances in Chesham, Leatherhead, Maidenhead, Bracknell, Tunbridge Wells, and Epsom, before heading all across the countries to Ayr, Durham, Hesham, Kendal, Sale, Southport, Salford, Inverness, Stirling, Middlesbrough, Bromsgrove, Shrewsbury, Nottingham, Barnsley, Loughborough, Tewkesbury, Melton Mowbray, home of the pork pie, Yeovil, Chatham, Worthing, Canterbury, Bedford, Neath, Port Talbot, Newtown, Hedge End, Stourport, Cardiff, Hemel Hempstead, Lincoln, Peterborough, Harlow, Christchurch, Andover, Colchester, Hartford, Hereford, High Wycombe, Swindon, Cardigan, Brecon, Flanethley, thank you, Matt Pearson, Camberley, Grantham, Harrogate, Solihull, Ludlow, Exeter, Galway, Newton Abbey at the Theatre on the Mill. We return after our kerfuffles there last year. Downpatrick, Derrystroke, Londonderry, which is apparently the same place, Westacre in Norfolk, Wakefield, Barnstable, Blackwood, Chipping Norton, Pershore, Hounslow, Basingstoke, Guildford, Tenterden, Banbury, Derby, Bolton, Wolverhampton, Worcester, Dumfries, and Stranraer, plus a few other cities that aren't on the tour page yet. And I know I can count on Matt Pearson to let me know if I've mispronounced any of those towns. We'll also have a few dates in the U.S. later this spring, plus more U.S. dates this summer and fall, which will be added to our website as soon as we nail them down. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information. So, Matt and Steve, you did it once and you watched it once. Mm-hmm. How helpful, or is it helpful, to see it before or after you've done it yourself? Matt, you did it first and then watched it. Was it helpful?
Yeah, it was very, very helpful. And there are things I'm going to steal.
Oh, good.
Hopefully with Steve's permission. You know, we talked about this. The thing that struck me is that we're still learning the show, and even though it was a great response, it's still there are moments that can definitely go faster. There are moments that can be clearer, and it's really a privileged position to be able to stand back and say, okay, right, I am seeing how this show works, which is something you don't usually get as an actor. You get the director going, you know, go faster.
I'll tell you how the show works.
Yeah, exactly. And you can kind of see it for yourself. Oh, I see what you mean. Okay. Yeah. You're not just being an asshole. You're actually trying to be helpful, right?
Sometimes I am both. Steve, what about you?
Yeah. I mean, I think I said to you the other night, Austin, that it's such a rare opportunity you get with this company as an actor to be able to watch the show that you're in before you actually do it. So you get to see how the audience responds or doesn't respond, and it just gives you the chance to sort of get a feel for it. Rare opportunity. I think it definitely helps with this company to not be too precious about your own part, which is quite I don't think every actor could do necessarily. Yeah,
that's really true.
I think if you're not too precious, it's a great opportunity.
We love trying to training new actors when we're also running in a theater somewhere. That was what's great about the Criterion for all those years.
Yeah, well, whenever we were, you know, putting out a new tour, like, you know, when we did Hollywood or, you know, all the great books, they had the opportunity to watch the show in the West End and go, oh, that's the style. Because I think that's one of the charms of the Reduced still to this day, is that for an audience who doesn't know us, they kind of look at us and go, "Wait a minute, are they actors? Are they? No, they're not stand-ups." But it's kind of
are they making this up? I mean,
and do they know what they're doing?
What, did I pay for this?
And that's the show. I mean, I remember that's the very first time I saw the show back in 1998.
Really? Back when? Century.
Literally, yeah. But that was my thought. I remember watching Matt Rippey and who was it? It was Brian Torfey and Kyle Dadd. And I literally sat there at the interval, at the intermission, going, "Who are these idiots?" I was like, "What is this?" And it wasn't until the "What a Piece of Work Is Man" speech that I went, "Oh, wait a minute. They know exactly what they're doing, but they make it look like they don't."
Yeah, no, it's
right. And it's hard to convey that in a rehearsal, but when you watch it, you go, "Ah, I get it."
Right. Well, the last two nights were great for me to watch because I actually think we've made some changes in the show here for Britain that I think will be helpful to us back in America. Yeah. I think we discovered some things, and I think I can't wait to take some of these ideas back to the States. But one of them, I've had several favorite moments in the last two nights. One of them is that we have a scene that uses a hospital bed in the second act. If you've seen the show, you know what we're talking about. Well, the bed that they have here in the UK is such an improvement over the one we have in the States. We also rewrote the scene, and I think the scene is better. So that's a great thing. And so one of the best laughs, well, I can't even talk about that laugh without just giving it away.
I know, but
Bryony, suffice to say that Bryony Lemon, our backstage goddess, gets the biggest laugh in the show now. Thank you, Bryony.
That's quite all right.
See, and that's how you should be a nice, humble actor.
Yes.
Just say thank you and
yes.
Be done.
Yeah. But then my other favorite moment was Gary Fannin's imitation of a barn animal.
Oh, yeah. That was my favorite. Okay, first show, right? So, you know, not only are we, you know, freaking out about, you know, the tech and all this, the license stuff, but, you know, it's also still lying. Just, you know, this is a really wordy show. Thanks, Austin.
You're welcome.
And you know, there's just all these lines, and there was this moment where it's a setup, and we just changed the joke that I think even on the day, so I'm kind of justifying here what happened. But I get to this line, and the line is supposed to be, "You don't see evidence? Well, you know, look at history. Who gave the Dalai his first llama? Who invented Milton Keynes? Yeah. You know, who calls something a world series and then doesn't invite any other countries?" So I get to this point and I can't remember anything. Literally, my mind goes blank, and all I can sit there and think is go, "Okay, well, look at history. Who? Literally for about that long.
I think there's an alternate.
It was longer than that, Gary. Yeah,
there's an alternate universe where you're still doing that.
I know. I'm still searching for these lines.
It was great, but what was lovely about it was that it was so in the moment, you know. It was, you know, both the actor and the character had merged. There was none dare call it acting.
No acting whatsoever.
Yeah. And I was being the ever supportive actor by just standing there and openly laughing at you.
Gary, what are you doing? This is hilarious.
But the other favorite part for me to watch is the improv section. It's also one of my favorite parts to do in the show because, you know, because there isn't a thing to rehearse and get right.
Yeah.
You know, the improv section is what it is every night. What's that like for you guys? I'll ask this question the audience has. Are you guys actors? Are you guys improvisers? What's it like?
Well, I mean, when I first heard that there was going to be an improvised section of the show, I was immediately terrified, utterly terrified by it, because I'm not, I'm always the kind of actor who likes things to be scripted and very definite.
Right.
So I'm always, scared of improvisation initially, but when I actually do it, and actually watching Gary and Matt doing it, whenever I saw them do it in a run, I always just wanted to be there. I always wanted to get involved.
Yeah.
So
it's true.
I think this tour, if nothing, is giving me therapy to get over my fear of improvisation.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. That's good.
So, yeah.
That's good. Andy, you don't have to do much but set up the rules. But what's it like for you? You got the best seat in the house as Rambosa.
Well, yeah, and it's kind of a split thing because, in rehearsals and the first two shows, you're looking at it and you think, God, this looks terrifying. But I already see moments in it where I kind of think, oh, I came up with an idea there. And of course, the pressure's not on me, so ideas are probably coming a bit freer because I'm not thinking, oh, I've got to do it right now. But I do think that within a short time into the run, I'm going to be quite jealous in that bit because I want to do it. It looks great fun.
And the trick is to not try to be a playwright beforehand, and that's the problem I have, because I am a playwright, it's hard for me because I want to sit there and go, oh, okay, all right, I've just got these two suggestions, I know how I can make it work. And that's always my worst improv that night. You have to be in the moment.
Yeah, you got to jump in. I mean, the first night, we always ask for two suggestions, a location and a popular song. And the first night, someone said a zoo. Yeah. And I was like, okay, I got nothing. And as you had suggested that day, it's like, just be bold. Just jump in with anything.
Something physical.
And so I just decided to be a gorilla. And I had no idea where I was going. I had no idea what the scene would be. I just went, I'm a gorilla. And then it went from there. And we got some ideas from that.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. And I jumped in with my physical thing, which is just standing there.
I thought, Matty P, you'd been strangely silent during this discussion of improv.
You know what? Steve's saying, he's the kind of actor who likes to know what he's doing, and I'm exactly the same. And this whole improv thing is great for me because it's terrifying.
But you know what? You are going to get better at this because you are already the kind of an actor who has absolutely no problem ad-libbing in character without breaking, without corpsing. I've seen you do it in both shows now.
Yeah.
So you are clearly capable of doing it. You just need to jump in.
I think a lot of it as well is being comfortable with the material. So once we're up with the show and we know what we're doing, we don't have to think about things too much. We get out of our heads and the whole thing will become easier.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your comedy openings via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews of this podcast on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, comedy closer Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Aileen Cawley. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to comedian, actor, and improviser extraordinaire Mike McShane, who's currently in Assassins at the Menier Chocolate Factory in London. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener for 125/1275 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
I think we've got a great company. I'm looking forward to being with these guys. It's going to be fun. I already feel like I trust you guys on stage, and I think it's going to be a good hoot.
Good hoot. A good hoot. A good hoot.
Help me!
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less.